This is the Podcast Replay. This Podcast Replay is brought to you by the finest racks in the business. Pallet Rack City. 305-424-8547. That's 305-424-8547. Pallet Rack City in Hialeah is the company you need when you want your warehouse sporting the finest racks in the business. After all, who doesn't love a great rack?
All right, good Wednesday morning, everybody. Ira, I'm excited, man. Are you excited?
You know, I am, Clay, but it's like we said, you know, in the crosstalk with Big O before we started this segment of the show, just the timing could not be better. That we're at a time right now where it's not a case of let's find something to talk about. I think it's going to be a case by the time we're done with this hour, we're going to sit back and realize what we didn't get a chance to get to. It is that busy. Draft, free agency, extension, summer league. There was so much coming up literally within the next week or two that you can make an argument for a two-year compacted NBA schedule. We might be in the grinder right now, Clay.
And it's funny, you mentioned that you know, take people behind the curtain a little bit. Ira sent me, he calls me yesterday and he says, hey, I'm going to send you a list of topics and, you know, you feel free to choose. And I'm thinking maybe we'll get like three or four. Ira sends me like 27 topics and I'm like, man, how are we even going to... But you're right. I mean, all of the topics you sent, we could focus, you know, 20 minutes on discussing the ins and the outs of. But I do think that in particular, because we got free agency coming up on Monday, we got the draft coming up tomorrow night. I feel like we can't neglect any side of that. And if you're a Heat fan right now, you're wondering, even though you don't have a pick in tomorrow night's draft, your eyes are always on who's the next player that we're going to get. And even though that player is not likely going to be in the draft, I think draft night is incredibly, incredibly important for the Heat. So we're going to touch on a few different things. The Kyle Lowry thing has been out there a lot, and whether you should pay 3 years, $90 million for him, as it certainly looks like somebody may. And are the Heat going to be that team? You know, we remember a couple years ago, we weren't expecting the Heat to be able to pull anything off. All of a sudden, Jimmy Butler comes here and Pat Riley and Andy Ellisberg find a way to pull that off. Is there something that the Heat will be able to do with that? But I want to start here, Ira.
Sure.
We got the draft coming up tomorrow night and the Heat don't have a pick. But in order for the Heat to have a greater chance of pulling somebody in, I would argue that tomorrow night is immensely important for a number of reasons, but I want to start here. Bradley Beal, I get the feeling he's going to eventually ask out. I know right now it's kind of like up in the air, but this is the first time that he's shown any inclination that he is even considering leaving Washington. He's been really focused on sticking there. Damian Lillard, even though he's posting emojis, kind of maybe hinting otherwise, I think it's pretty clear, especially when Chris Haynes comes out and has the first report, and we know how close he is with Damian Lillard. I think it's pretty clear that Damian Lillard wants out. So there are going to be some options for the Heat. You've got some other guys, Malcolm Brogdon, some potential options that the Heat can look at. After the draft, the playing field gets a little more level because the Heat don't have a pick tomorrow night. So I think if you're a Heat fan, you're watching just as much because you're not watching as much because you want to see the Heat pull somebody off, because that's probably not going to happen. But you don't want to see major transactions between now and the end of the draft. Because after the draft, the playing field starts to get a little more level. We had a report yesterday that the Heat are working really, really hard to try to get future first-round picks. They're not doing that because they think that there's going to be a guy in the middle of the first round in 2024 that they think they're going to draft. So to me, I think it's pretty clear the Heat are trying to put themselves in a position to make some sort of a splash, however big that may be in the coming weeks. And the more players that are available to them, the better. And you don't want to have a whole wave of transactions with teams trading their first round pick tomorrow night for players like that and bringing down the number of options that the Heat may have to bring in.
Yeah, you know, Clay, it's interesting. I would say this is the best of scenarios and the worst of scenarios for the Heat. And I would put it this way. You want to have disgruntled players trying to force their way out. The Heat have made a history under Pat Riley in the last quarter century of doing just that. You can go back to Shaquille O'Neal with Kobe when it didn't work out. And all of a sudden, this megastar comes out. The Heat win their first championship. You can go with LeBron and Chris Bosh wanting to form a big three. The Heat go to four NBA finals. You can go with Jimmy Butler being miserable, first under Fred Hoiberg in Chicago, then having his special practice that Rachel Nichols got the video from when he was in Minnesota, and then even his contretemps in Philadelphia with Ben Simmons. So you want those kind of players to be forcing their way out. So maybe teams have to settle for a little bit less on the dollar before the players either walk out the door or become petulant. Sort of like what we're talking to Big O with the Xavier Howard sort of scenario. You don't want that either. But like you so correctly point out, the timing is not good now. And it's not good for more than the Heat not having a pick in the draft. What you want to do on draft night is say, hey, we have scouted players X, Y, and Z. If we trade Bradley Beal, if we trade Damian Lillard, if we trade another elite player, whoever that is around the league, Miles Turner, someone, we know we can get player X. No one has to draft for us. We're just going to get your pick. The Heat don't have a pick. They can't be part of that. But Clay, there's a much bigger part of this process, and that's this. You cannot trade an impending free agent until the start of free agency with a sign and trade deal. So in other words, let's say we'll go with Bradley Beal, for example. That might be more likely than Damian Lillard. What if the Wizards say, you know what, that Duncan Robinson, he's a better shooter than the money we gave to Davis Bertans last year. We like Kendrick Nunn. We'll take Tyler Hero. We'll do something. Well, you can't do a Kendrick Nunn sign and trade. You can't do a Duncan Robinson sign and trade until at least next week because you have to get their permission. So the Heat do not have the type of chips that other teams on draft night, on Thursday night, can say, we have these players under contract we can offer you. The Miami Heat right now have five players under their control at the moment we're taping the show. Precious Achiuwa, KZ Akpala, Tyler Hero, Bam Adebayo, and Jimmy Butler, and that's it. I think we're going to move Bam and Jimmy off the table right now because the Heat are trying to get better, not make lateral moves. So they can't move a Duncan Robinson and a sign and trade. And the reason is the player has to acquiesce to that. And he has to agree to go to the destination. As a free agent, you can sign an offer sheet anywhere. If Duncan Robinson wants to go to the Knicks, if Duncan Robinson wants to go to his close to hometown Boston Celtics, that's his right to decide where he goes. You have to work with him. If you remember last year, before the start of free agency, at about this very same period around the draft, you had Milwaukee surreptitiously working out a trade with the Sacramento Kings for Bogdan Bogdanovich, who eventually went to the Atlanta Hawks, and it was all done. And they were going to have Bogdanovich and Jrue Holiday and Giannis Antetokounmpo and be even better than what we saw them on the way to the finals. And then the league said, wait a minute, free agency didn't start. How were you so sure that Bogdan Bogdanovich was going to agree to your terms and was going to say, I'd love to spend winters in Milwaukee? Something seems a little bit fishy. They were slapped by a penalty by the NBA. They were told they were not allowed to sign Bogdanovich, who went to Atlanta and almost beat them in the Eastern Conference, you know, finals this year. So you had that in play. So teams can't do that anymore. Now, that doesn't mean that teams don't cheat and walk around the rules, but you can't be that blatant. You can't have Duncan Robinson telling people, hey, I know where I'm going in free agency. Pat Riley and Andy Ellisberg worked out a real nice deal for me. I love the nation's capital. I'm going to be there. Because then the Heat, who don't even have draft choices, will be penalized for draft choices and will be in even worse shape. So I think when you look at the situation right now, Clay, I agree. Disgruntled players, wonderful. The Heat have made for the last two decades, longer, Tim Hardaway, go back to that, a market of salvaging players like that. But they need these trades to happen no sooner than next Monday. And really, when the free agency signing period starts on next Friday, the Heat can create more assets a week from today than they have right now. So it's setting up for Pat Riley. The question is, does someone beat them to the punch? And Clay, to your points, as you said at the start of the segment, it comes down to this. Teams know that the Heat have more to offer next week. So they might go to Washington or to Portland or any other disgruntled players team and go, hey, we're not leaving this offer on the table. It is take it or leave it right now. We are the Golden State Warriors. We can give you two lottery picks. We can give you James Wiseman. We can give you a future pick or another one of our players or Wiggins. But we have to know in 1 hour, yes or no, let us know if this works for you. That's the difference. And Clay, like you said, all the Heat can do there tomorrow at the NBA draft is going, if only we had more time.
I'm really glad that you brought up the point of the Bogdanovich situation because I think something you've seen over the last 24, 36 hours or so is a lot of this. Well, any rumor involving an impending free agent, that's false. It can't happen. Like, you can't have talks about impending free agents. And I think people are pointing that out. I think what you're seeing, and you correct me if I'm wrong. Look, I said this before the show started. You're extremely in tune. And so correct me if I'm wrong here. I think team executives know very, very well that the punishment that was inflicted on the Bucks last year was meant to send a message throughout the league. And it was not just, we're going to take your picks, but if you really like that player that you're talking about, which clearly you do if you're violating the rules to talk about them, we're going to make sure that you don't get him. And so I think what you may be seeing a little bit of is reporters who have sources who in the past may have been a little bit more willing to say, yeah, we can't talk about that player, but off the record, you know, I think even sources are starting to be a little bit more careful. I don't think these talks aren't going on. I 100% believe that there are conversations going on involving impending free agents. But I think that the usual sources for many reporters, for a lot of people who are really, really good at getting this info, are a little bit less likely to spill that because they saw what happened with the Kings and Bucks last year and Bogdanovich. Would you say that's fair to say?
Yeah, and first of all, I just want to let people know, because we're on a variety of platforms, some people are going to be listening to this in podcast form. As I sit here right now on the YouTube version of the Big O Radio Show, I am just nodding my head a lot. So again, if you search Big O Radio Show on most platforms, smash that like button. You will find us on a weekly basis. You'll see me here just sort of nodding my head, something that might not come across on one of the platforms where it's just a podcast. But yes, I agree that this is a different time, a time of greater care. But if you're asking me, have NBA people stopped like they've been doing for years, working ahead of free agency? You can't. I remember that was one of the real problems the Lakers felt they had when Mitch Kupchak was there, is that he wouldn't cheat. And what's the old saying, if you're not cheating, you're losing.
He ain't trying.
Yeah. He ain't trying. So, I mean, it's the same thing. You have to do that. Yes, you might lose a second round pick. You might even lose a first round pick. But you also might lose out on the player you want, where all of a sudden you wake up next Monday at the start of free agency at 6 p.m., next Friday at the start of the signing period, and going, how did that happen so quick? So, yeah, you've got to work surreptitiously. You've got to work behind the scenes. You have to have things lined up, and the Heat do. And it's interesting. I spoke to Adam Simon, who does the Heat's draft, and he told me, look, Ira, we don't have a draft pick, but I will have that board at FTX Arena. I got to be careful on that. The former American Airlines Arena, 1 through 60. We will be ready to go. Clay, I can also tell you they will have scenario A, B, C, D, E, F, G, all the way down to Z, and maybe even to some Greek letters when it comes to their plans for free agency. Because again, like I said, they only have five players currently under contract right now. So they're going to have to fill out a roster somehow. They're going to have to do it with their A-list players. They're going to have to do it with possibly exception money players. They're going to have to do it with minimum players. But it's not like these teams say, we're going to get Bradley Beal and worry about the rest of it after. We're going to get Damian Lillard and worry about the rest after. And this is why, Clay, because Bradley Beal's going to go, okay, who else you got? I mean, look at a player like Damian Lillard, for example. He's had good players around him. He's had CJ McCollum for his entire ride there in Portland. You can say what you want about, Josef Nurkic and what he is, but he's a very unique big man, sort of in that Nikola Jokic frame. He's a unique player. They went out in the offseason and during the season and made major trades with Norman Powell and signing Derrick Jones Jr. and bringing in Robert Covington. So they were churning. So basically Damian Lillard is saying, if I'm going to sit out, maybe miss game checks, unlike or practice checks like Xavier Howard, and I'm willing to do that, who else do you got? Yeah, Jimmy's a nice player. Oh, I love playing with Bam here at the Olympics. The guy does nothing but pass. That's fine. But who else do you got? Tell me why you, Pat Riley, are positioning the Heat in the Eastern Conference to be more competitive than I've been with the Portland Trail Blazers in the Western Conference. And Clay, where has Damian Lillard been in the Western Conference in recent years? He's been on a middle of the pack playoff team to a lower tier playoff team. Well, I got to tell you, and no offense to the Heat, but even when they went to the NBA Finals two seasons ago, they were right there as a number five seed. When they went to the playoffs this year and were swept in the first round by the Milwaukee Bucks, they were a number six seed. So what they have now has only been good enough. That's the problem. Damian Lillard in Portland's been on a team that's only been good enough. Bradley Beal has been on a team in Washington that hasn't even been good enough. So the Heat not only have to tell the Lillards, the Beals, their agents, even right now, if you sign here, what we can do with you, but who else is going to be alongside? And it's not like you could sit there next Monday or next Friday and say, well, who do you want us to get? Because you got teams scrambling like cockroaches trying to get all of those other players.
That's so true. So that's big picture. That's I think we wanted to kind of lay the groundwork of what we want this show to be about moving forward, also for this particular show, and because tomorrow night is such a big night. Coming up after the break, I want to get a little more specific. I want to talk about each player specifically that the Heat may be interested in. What are the chances that they're able to bring player X, Y, Z in and what it would potentially take? And then after that, Ira, I want to hit on what you said before we started all this, that could Jimmy Butler really turn into an Xavier Howard type situation? So we want to get into all that coming up after the break right here on Inside the Paint.
Reach out to Ira and Clay. Drop them an email at insidethepaint@yahoo.com. Chime in on the YouTube chat board. You're listening to the Pallet Rack City Inside the Paint Show.
There's no need to drive around South Florida wasting valuable time looking for a new or certified pre-owned Acura. Go to the number one volume sales dealership in the Southeast United States, Craig Zinn's Acura of Pembroke Pines. Purchase with pace and space in a dealership tailored to your needs. From home buying to providing that personal touch, contact the 2020 Satisfaction Award winner, Craig Zinn's Acura of Pembroke Pines, 888-776-5123. That's 888-776-5123. Or visit them at 15601 Pines Boulevard in Pembroke Pines. If you're a Miami sports fan, then there's only one store to go to, and that's Caneswear at Miami Fanwear in Davie. They're your one-stop shop for all your inner Miami CF, Canes, Dolphins, Panthers, and Marlins merchandise. They have hats, t-shirts, game day jerseys, and so much more. Located at 2511 South University Drive in Davie, and open 24/7 online at caneswear.com or innermiamiwear.com. Call them at 954-835-5597. Caneswear, the spot where inner Miami and all Miami sports fans shop.
This is the Big O Show. This is the Big O Show. This is the Big O Show.
Looking good while staying efficient, there's only one place to find the finest racks in the business. Pallet Rack City in Hialeah. 305-424-8547. That's 305-424-8547. Pallet Rack City is the company you need when you want your warehouse sporting the finest racks in the business. After all, who doesn't love a great rack? Pallet Rack City. 305-424-8547. That's 305-424-8547. Welcome back to the Pallet Rack City Inside the Paint program with Ira Winderman and Clay Ferraro. Let's get back to the guys that just updated their email from Prodigy to AOL. Here's Ira and Clay.
So that's actually a true story. That's actually a true story. And I don't know, Ira, maybe you like to give out your email address. I particularly probably won't. You can hit my WPLG email address. It's really easy to find. But Ira and I are two of like seven people left on Earth that actually have AOL email addresses. That was not a lie. That was actually true.
I first connected with Clay through our MySpace pages, and then I went from there. But you know what? You get an email. People start emailing you. You don't want to lose it. You don't want to lose your own contacts. Yes, I also have a personal Gmail. And remember, if you want to reach us on the show or you want to suggest a topic either for later in the show or next week, you can reach us at insidethepaint@yahoo.com. apparently Yahoo has some email also, so that's good to know. So yeah, I might even close out my Juno account and just move over to Yahoo also. But another story for another day. But you know what? My good friend Israel Gutierrez has an AOL account also, so it's not just us older guys, Clay. Apparently, it's still a thing.
And I've also always got Twitter open. I know you do too as well, Ira. So if you want to tweet us at ClayWPLG, I've got that set up. And so what I think I like to be good at responding. So if you guys have something that you want us to hit on really quickly, we can do that. But so Ira, when I was kind of reaching my teenage years, I don't know if you remember the show Real World. I don't know if that's still on MTV. But
it still is. And yes, I do. And yes, okay. It was kind of unavoidable.
Yeah, exactly. Unavoidable. So, but when they were introing the show, one of the lines was, we wanted to see what happened when people stopped being polite and started being real. So we're going to do that right now. So we've been talking in generalities about players and what the Heat may be able to do. I want to get real here and I want to find out, sure. Is it even realistic to talk about some of these players? So let's go down the line really quickly and let's start right at the top. Damian Lillard, is it even realistic to discuss him as a possibility for the Heat?
Yes, because you know what? Once a player puts himself out there, then anything is possible, to quote another player. So yeah, I think it's hard. He's under contract long term. There's no pressure from Portland. But as we know, what we've seen today from Xavier Howard, like we referred to in other players, it's very hard to deal with a player once he turns petulant. Hasn't reached that point. I think the concern for the Heat should be if Portland makes a massive move to supplement and augment their roster, maybe brings on a Ben Simmons, brings on another player. That's what Neil Olshey is trying to do right now in Portland, is augment his team. So it'll be interesting. Can the Heat play defense? Don't trade this player to Portland. We want him. But yeah, Clay, once a player voices that publicly, goes to his guy, like you mentioned with Chris Haynes at Yahoo Sports, yeah, I think that's possible.
And see, I'm glad you brought that up with going to Chris Haynes. So when you see things that may be kind of disputing some of these reports, Chris Haynes and Damian Lillard have had a great relationship for a long, long time. I think it's pretty well known that if and when something like this were to happen, it would come from Chris Haynes. So I'm very confident in going back to that original Chris Haynes report. Damian Lillard wants out. Is it realistic? I tend to side more with you on this because I think you're seeing a lot of even fans that are saying, no, why are we even talking about Damian Lillard? I thought yesterday was really interesting, that report that I think was True Hoop, that said, you know, Lillard has enjoyed playing with a big man like Bam Adebayo. Mm-hmm. That goes back to what you were saying in the last segment about players want to know, what are you going to do for me? How are you going to surround me with? Now, it's not just about playing with Bam and Jimmy, but I think when you start off with a big three like that, that's going to be really appealing to somebody like Damian Lillard. And let me add this. I think a lot of, you know, Laker fans think they're going to get everybody. But I think the reality is, who would somebody like the Lakers trade that would be remotely attractive to Portland? So, you know, I think Heat fans, you know, you went from a few years ago thinking, oh, we can trade a second round pick and get the elite of the elite. We can trade, you know, our trash for your treasure. And I think there's been kind of this overcorrection. You have to look at what other teams can offer as well.
Clay, just interrupt you for a second. I think the Lakers' best offer right now would probably be a sign and trade of Dennis Schroeder, and then what they're offering everyone, Kyle Kuzma and KCP, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, and that can't get it done. Because if that's all that it takes, then it becomes a case of sort of take my Tyler Hero, please. And the Heat are right in that also. So, again, I think it's harder for the Lakers, even if Damian Lillard wants to go there. Again, the currency we mentioned in our first segment today that the Warriors have with two lottery picks, with being able to offer Jonathan Wiseman, some other sweeteners from their roster, that's what makes the biggest difference. And then just to go to your other point there, when you talk about sourcing, I have a friend at ESPN, and basically he told me that every one of their NBA writers at one point each had a certain agency, and they would work with that agency. So when Reporter X quotes Rich Paul from Clutch Sports or quotes from another agency, that's what they do. You sort of start to see whether it's a CAA or a guy who works with them, where they get their stuff from those agencies. So that's what we see. So I think people like you and I in the business will know, hey, he's a Rich Paul guy. He has quoted Rich Paul before. He's been spot on. He has quoted this guy from Octagon, or he's quoted this guy from CAA. He's been spot on. So that's how you sort of read these things also, Clay. So that's why I think in these cases you can agree and believe some of these things.
Yeah, and so with a Damian Lillard type situation, it's not just that, hey, he wants out. It's he is largely going to pick where he goes. So I don't want to hear that Oklahoma City has 27 first round picks, and so they can trump any offer that the Heat have. Damian Lillard isn't going to be clamoring to going and go and play in Oklahoma City.
And not at 31 years old. Not at 31 years old. Yeah.
And to your point about what the Lakers' best offer could be, what good does a Dennis Schroeder sign and trade do Portland right now? If they trade Damian Lillard, it's because they got to start over. So be thinking when you see some of these reports, it's okay, would another offer help this team do what they're going to have to do? So that's Portland and that's Damian Lillard. I'm with you. I think it's realistic. I do think that there are teams out there that can offer more, but I also think that Damian Lillard's leverage here could also play a big role. Wizards, Bradley Beal, realistic or not realistic?
Well, we know one, Bradley Beal has expressed an affection for the Heat. We've seen that on social media. We saw after just before the pandemic when he traded signed jerseys with Bam Adebayo and Bam had it in the locker room there in Washington at their arena. So there's a closeness there. There's a fondness there. There's been a following back and forth. It's just a matter of can the deal get done. Clay, it's interesting. There were points after the Heat went to the NBA Finals when you started to think, should we really give up Tyler Hero? And even though it took more draft capital to, say, make a James Harden trade, there was still a thought from Heat Nation, Heat fans, maybe even inside 601 Biscayne, that you don't want to trade that kind of youth and give that up. I think right now the Heat would throw in Tyler Hero in a second. I think if they had to, they would throw in another one of their players in a sign and trade, or even like you mentioned at the top of our show tonight, today, come up with some sort of draft capital to sweeten it. So yes, as long as Bradley Beal is possible, and here's the difference. Damian Lillard has multiple years left on his contract. He does not hold the hammer. Bradley Beal next summer can become a free agent. That's the timing in the NBA, Clay. You wait to the end, you can lose a player for nothing. It's why you have a situation where Indiana trades a Paul George. It's why you have a situation where teams trade players a year and a half ahead of time to get currency. So this is Bradley Beal time right now. Keep an eye on part B of this equation. Russell Westbrook, not a free agent, still has big money on his contract. But if the Lakers make a move for Russell Westbrook, and you have a situation where it becomes a sell-off in Washington, where Tommy Shepard goes to the GM and they start all over again, that'll sort of give you a hint of where they're headed. So I think it's going to be interesting to keep an eye on the totality of Washington and not just Bradley Beal. But yeah, that's more so than Damian Lillard, a case of where there's smoke, there could be fire.
The one team that I would be a little concerned about if I were the Heat in regards to Bradley Beal is Boston. And mostly because, look, Bradley Beal, I think you're right. Bradley Beal has an affection for the Heat, for Bam Adebayo. Bam has not exactly been shy in putting out how much he loves Bradley Beal. Jason Tatum and Bradley Beal have like a real long-term relationship going back to St. Louis. I mean, they're really, really good friends. And so that would be one that would concern me a little bit. Now, with that said, I think Boston would have to give up Jaylen Brown in order to make a deal like that happen. And I don't know that Boston's willing to give up Jaylen Brown. I don't know that from a Boston perspective and what you need on that team, I think Jaylen Brown is a better complement to Jason Tatum than a Bradley Beal would be. So unless and until Boston's willing to put Jaylen Brown on the table there, I think the Heat may actually have a chance at beating whatever other offer Boston might put out there. So,
and that's what Pat Riley and Andy Ellisberg and Adam Simon and the Heat front office do, is they will reach out to the player's agent and say, are you better off in that situation? So let's say, like you said, Clay, you're removing Jaylen Brown. Now you're probably looking at a Boston core right now, and I don't want to overstate at all Al Horford at this point in his career. So you're talking probably a big three of Jason Tatum, Evan Fournier, and Bradley Beal, okay? That's one big three. Or you're talking the Heat, Jimmy Butler, Bam Adebayo, Bradley Beal. That's what the Heat does, is they're saying, well, if you're getting traded for Jaylen Brown, it's a different dynamic there in Boston. Boston keeps being close and can't get over the hump. They've changed their coach, but now their coach is their GM, so he's still there. We have Eric Spoelstra. He's won championships here. He's gone deep in the playoffs as recently as 2 years ago. So that's what you do. If you're a Lillard, if you're a Beal, if you're some of the other players we're going to get into, is you keep mentioning how this is what you have ready to go now. If another team acquires you, will they have as much?
So those are the players that I think right now are the star level players that are quote unquote disgruntled or may be disgruntled. Might get. So I want to talk now a little bit about the free agent side of this thing and guys who are impending free agents and
sure.
and the chances of bringing in these guys. So let's start with Kyle Lowry. And with Kyle Lowry, I don't know that it's as much. Is it realistic for the Heat to entice him to come? I think it's, is it realistic to entice him to come at the Heat's price point? And on the flip side, would the Heat be willing to go over what their price point would appear to be? So let me ask you this. Is it realistic to project Kyle Lowry in a Heat uniform under any circumstance? In other words, could you see, what are the chances that you could see the Heat go up on their price point and potentially meet that 3 years and 30, or see Kyle Lowry come down on his either or? What are the chances that either or could happen?
Clay, it's interesting you mentioned price point, because there's two price point elements to this. There's, what does Kyle Lowry at 35 years old want in a contract? Well, like I mentioned in my column that was in today's South Florida Sun Sentinel, the NBA has what they call a 38 and over rule, that once your contract of more than 3 years takes you past your 38th birthday, they start averaging back some of your salary. So basically, Kyle's going to be limited to a 3-year contract. We've heard the number, 3 years, about $30 million average, higher than we thought. But Clay, Kyle holds all the cards. He's a free agent. He can go where he wants, how he wants, at what price point he wants. So what you do in a negotiation is you look at all the factors. If you're Andy Ellisberg, if you're Pat Riley, if you're Adam Simon, and here's the reality. We just saw New Orleans make a major trade to open up far more cap space than the Heat, with interest in Kyle Lowry becoming their quote-unquote Chris Paul. We know that the Dallas Mavericks and Mark Cuban with his wealth are lurking to get Luka Doncic, the type of true point guard, to free him up alongside of him. They're looking at Kyle Lowry. We know that Philadelphia, hometown Philadelphia, for Kyle Lowry, the 76ers are looking for a truer point guard as they probably or possibly move Ben Simmons. So you have this competition. So Clay, if you would have asked me a week ago, can the Heat negotiate a price point with Kyle Lowry? I would have told you, well, he's injury prone. He's 35 years old. So why not? But now that I saw what the Pelicans did, now that we know what the Mavericks are doing, Kyle Lowry has all the cards. He basically can get himself a maximum contract and tell teams, we are starting at that point. Then you get to the Heat. There's two mechanisms to get Kyle Lowry: to max out your cap space. And Clay, I know there's other ways to do it, but I do not see the Heat getting higher than $24 million of cap space. And that probably means losing Kendrick Nunn and anyone coming back, Andre Iguodala, Goran Dragic, anyone at above a minimal contract beyond that. Will that save Kyle Lowry if Miami truly is a destination? That's number one. Sign and trade, be much easier. But again, as we've mentioned now for over half of the show, you know, on our inside the paint store, you know, show, is when you look at that situation, is did the Heat have enough to offer? The offer that John Hollinger, the former Grizzlies executive, mentioned The Athletic, was Precious Achiuwa, was KZ Akpala, and Andre Iguodala's contract. Could the Raptors do better? And without getting too long-winded here, and I apologize, Pat Riley has always said this. He's always said, first you want to present the threat, I can sign your player outright. Once you have that fear, Toronto, then you could force them into, but if you want to do a sign and trade, we can give you some assets back. We can give you a trade exception. We can go that way. Honestly, there is not a bigger name, a more significant name in this entire offseason for the Miami Heat among outside players than Kyle Lowry. That's where the focus has been. That's where the focus will remain. And if another team lands Kyle Lowry, then I think, and Clay, this is not fair. We're going to go back to comparing how Durant got away and how Gordon Hayward got away. And it's not fair to the Heat, because it's better to have loved and lost than never to have tried in the first place.
Well, okay. So I want to underscore something you just said, because it really stood out to me. And you know, Mark Hochman once said, as you told me, that you can sit down and eat an entire meal in the time that it takes for Ira Winderman to make 1 point. But I think during the course of that, you hit on some really interesting points, and one that I want to come back to after the break. You said that you have to present this idea that you can sign the player outright and essentially scare the team
yes.
into taking your best offer, or really the offer that you want them to take. Like, basically, you get this and like it, or you get nothing. I think it's interesting that over the last few days, you've started to see other teams clear out that space, as you said, because they know very well, and Kyle Lowry and his reps know very well, that that takes away that threat from the Heat. So if he really wanted to go to the Heat above all else, I don't know that they would have been sending the bat signal to other teams to sort of clear out that space
right.
in order to potentially bring him in and present that fear to the Toronto Raptors. So I want to talk more about that coming up after the break, because I think that may lead directly into what you were talking about before this show started. Could you see a Jimmy Butler situation or an Xavier Howard situation with Jimmy Butler? We know Jimmy Butler is really tight with Kyle Lowry. Could that be the sort of thing that would lead Jimmy Butler to want out of Miami? We'll have that and a lot more coming up right here on Inside the Paint.
Ooh. You're listening to the Pallet Rack City Inside the Paint Show. Pallet Rack City in Hialeah is the company you need when you want your warehouse sporting the finest racks in the business. After all, who doesn't love a good rack? Pallet Rack City. Sports fans love a place with great food, cold drinks, and TVs everywhere. That's why sports fans love Sports Grill and their 7 amazing locations. Check out the Bird Road location at 11481 Southwest 40th Street in the back corner of the West Bird Shopping Center. Sports Grill is also now offering some great employment opportunities. All kinds of positions are now available, from kitchen to hosting. Call for more information at 305-485-8845. From wraps to salads to amazingly delicious specialty dishes, Sports Grill is the home to the legendary special Grilled Wings. Since 1987, Sports Grill, good food, good drink, and good friends.
This is the Big O Show. This is the Big O Show. This is the Big O Show. This is the Big O Show.
There's no need to drive around South Florida wasting valuable time looking for a new or certified pre-owned Acura. Go to the number one volume sales dealership in the Southeast United States, Craig Zinn's Acura of Pembroke Pines. Purchase with pace and space in a dealership tailored to your needs. From home buying to providing that personal touch, contact the 2020 Satisfaction Award winner, Craig Zinn's Acura of Pembroke Pines, 888-776-5123. That's 888-776-5123. Or visit them at 15601 Pines Boulevard in Pembroke Pines.
When you need your warehouse looking good while staying efficient, there's only one place to find the finest racks in the business. Pallet Rack City in Hialeah. 305-424-8547. That's 305-424-8547. Pallet Rack City is the company you need when you want your warehouse sporting the finest racks in the business. After all, who doesn't love a great rack? Pallet Rack City. 305-424-8547. That's 305-424-8547. If it's hardcore hoops you desire, make sure you subscribe to the Big O Radio Show and never miss an episode of Inside the Paint. Let's get back to the Pallet Rack City Inside the Paint Show with Ira Winderman and Clay Ferraro.
Welcome back to Inside the Paint. We're going to wrap it up here, talking a little free agency, talking a little NBA draft stuff. This has been a blast, Ira. And as you said at the outset, if you're just joining us, you couldn't have picked a more perfect time to start this show in your Miami Heat fandom, just because of the big night that we've got coming up tomorrow night with the draft. And the fact that even though the Heat don't have a pick, this is an immensely important 36 hours for them, because it sets up what is an immensely important offseason for the Miami Heat, which really tips off for them on Monday with free agency. So with all of that said, you mentioned something before this show started. You know, we're watching right now, and Xavier Howard just walked out onto the field for the Miami Dolphins, even though he said last time, "I'm just here so I don't get fined." So it's right. pretty clear he is going through the motions up to and until the point that the Dolphins trade him. He wants out. Could we see a similar situation with Jimmy Butler? You said we could potentially see an Xavier Howard type situation with Jimmy Butler. What could lead to that happening in your mind?
Well, Jimmy Butler, next week at the start of the signing period, which actually is a week from Friday, is eligible for a four-year, $181 million extension. That's the most he can get because of his age, because of the salary cap. That would replace not this coming season, but start after this coming season. Basically, you can have a contract in the NBA of up to 5 years. So that would be the case with Jimmy. He wants it all. Clay, you know Jimmy. When he wants something, he gets something. When he wanted out of Chicago, he got out of Chicago. When he wanted out of Minnesota, he got out of Minnesota. When he wanted out of Philadelphia, he got out of Philadelphia. When he wanted his free agent contract with the Heat, he got his free agent contract with the Heat. When he wanted some of his friends to come along, players he liked with the Heat started signing those players. You want to keep Jimmy Butler happy. You also have to protect your future. And you have to consider at the end of that four-year extension, you're talking about a $50 million-ish contract for a player who's 36 years old. Clay, if that sounds familiar, they'd have been here before. Remember with Dwayne Wade, when Pat Riley and Mickey Harrison, who have nothing but enduring love and respect for Dwayne Wade, started going through their math and said, based on where our team is right now, based on the expenditure, based on the age, can we do it for a little less? And Dwayne said, yes, see ya. I'm going to my hometown of Chicago, spending a half year in Cleveland before the Heat. Basically brought him back to try to salvage the situation. The problem is this. If you don't give Jimmy everything, we have seen petulant Jimmy. And frankly, Clay, and I don't use this word a lot, I am terrified. Because Jimmy Butler, who's unhappy, I saw him with Fred Hoiberg. Remember the locker room revolution he and Dwayne Wade and what it was like against Rajon Rondo. We saw that practice where he wore his Rolex, called out his teammates in Minnesota, and walked out. We saw the way it ended sort of ugly in Philadelphia. Here's part B of that. If you're a Kyle Lowry, if you're another player, a Damian Lillard or someone else who might come to the Heat, and all of a sudden, next Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday, you hear things are going sideways with Jimmy Butler's extension, that maybe Jimmy's not staying, that maybe he's going to opt out after this current season, which is a possibility as of now. He is guaranteed locked in for this coming 21-22 season, but 22-23, he could wind up walking. You're saying to yourself, why would I go there when they have this Bam Adebayo maximum contract already on the books, might not be able to add another plus one to me? So even though we're talking about the draft, because that's on Thursday, we're talking about free agency, because that starts 6 p.m. on Monday, this Jimmy Butler extension really works hand in hand with all of that.
Yes.
Because that becomes a factor also. So I know Heat Nation wants to hear draft and who they're going to get in the draft, how they're going to get a pick, who's number 61. I'll be writing about that at SunSentinel.com as soon as we're off the air here. I know they want to know about free agents. And if you check your Sun Sentinel, I'll give you the full free agent list before Monday. By the way, Clay, please plug Channel 10 along the way here so I don't feel as guilty. So we will have all of that stuff. But what's also almost as paramount to all of that is what's going to happen with Jimmy Butler. And I got to tell you, Clay, it's not cut and dried, because it is $181 million, because it is a player who'll be 36 years old, because it is a player who is all-star level, borderline all-NBA level. So you sort of look at that also, and you got to say, are we spending our money wisely? He's sort of in a corner because there's not a lot of plan Bs for any of that.
See, here's the difference between you and me, Ira. I'm doing it a little more subtly. The draft is on Local 10. So, like, I know when I'm promoting the draft, like, I'm promoting everybody's going to watch our network. So I kind of, like, come at it from
now,
the
see,
from
now,
the
now
side
I feel board, now right? I feel guilty. Now I can't watch ESPN's coverage, so I'm glad I let you know. So
That's right. So, okay, this is what I wanted to make sure that everybody understands about every move that you're going to see, every rumor that you hear, every whisper, everything. This is all connected. And when I say that the draft is really, really important for the Heat, it's not just important whether or not they trade into the draft. I don't see them doing that. Mm-hmm. It's not just important that because deadlines make deals and there is a minute chance that maybe they pull off a trade for a player tomorrow. I don't see it happening, but it's not just important for that. You want options. And if you see all of a sudden these deals being made where Damian Lillard ends up in Golden State, Bradley Beal ends up in Boston before the draft is over, then that's a signal that whatever it is that the Heat have been trying to work behind the scenes to get those players isn't working. And that would also be a signal potentially that either things have gone sideways with Jimmy Butler, like you just said, or it could directly lead to things going sideways with Jimmy Butler, because he's sitting there like, hey, he knows his age too. He knows that he's in the, I would say, the second half of the prime of his career, maybe not necessarily the back end of his prime, but
very tactful there.
Doing the best. Hey, that's the one thing I can bring to this show, right? But the bottom line is that he's a smart guy. He knows what is left of his career. And here's the other thing, Ira. If you're Pat Riley, and if you're out of time, you're Andy Ellisberg, you're okay potentially overpaying Jimmy Butler at the back end of that contract if it means that it gets you another star right now. So if you're a Damian Lillard, if you're a Bradley Beal, and you get the indication from the Heat that you're about to reach an agreement with Jimmy Butler contingent upon that player coming, then you're more likely to come. I remember, I mean, what was it, 3-4 o'clock in the morning when boom, boom, Paul George to the Clippers, Kawhi Leonard to the Clippers. So all of these things go hand in hand. So I'm with you. I think if you're Jimmy Butler, man, you're sitting there saying, all right, who else are you going to get me? Who are you going to bring into this team that's going to maximize what's left of my prime? Now, Jimmy Butler's mind, I think he probably has 20 years left in his prime. But I think in his heart of hearts, I think he realizes that Father Time is undefeated. And so he's sitting there saying, who are you going to bring in that will make us a championship level team in 2022, this upcoming year? Who are you going to bring me that's going to help us hoist the Larry O'Brien trophy this year? So if that doesn't happen, if they don't make the sort of moves necessary to make him happy, or it doesn't appear that they're close to it, Jimmy's going to do exactly what you're saying he's going to do. He's going to start to see, all right, what are my options as well? Sure. So I think if they do reach an agreement with Jimmy Butler, where you're looking at the back end of that contract and you're saying, we're paying 35, 36-year-old Jimmy Butler $50 million, and you're a fan and you're sitting there saying, why would we do that? Wait to see what the next move is going to be.
Well, there's two parts here I want to parse there, Clay. And one, I'm going to disagree with you. And I spoke about this earlier on our show, and something I think I might have to talk about next week when we're back with another Pallet Rack City Inside the Heat Paint Show. And that's this. It does bother me how it gets cast when the Heat miss out on elite free agents that they somehow lost, that Pat Riley somehow failed. The Heat are very public in saying they go out to harpoon whales, right? Pat Riley has been on the record. He's spoken like that. You can't look at it a failure at it as a failure if you don't keep getting elite players. Over these 25 years, the Heat have gotten Shaquille O'Neal, LeBron James, Chris Bosh, Goran Dragic, Jimmy Butler. They've gotten their share. You don't get everyone. Two, it doesn't have to happen on Monday. It doesn't have to happen next Friday. There were other contingencies. We will see that and how it plays out with the team options for Goran Dragic and Andre Iguodala. They may pick those up by Sunday's deadline just to have the type of salary cap ballast that they had last season with Myers Leonard when his expiring was flipped for Trevor Ariza, who gave him a nice push going into the playoffs. So again, this is, you know, and you know this, Clay, because you're part of this. Everyone will do their draft report card after Thursday, which is absurd because you don't know who's good or who's not good until you actually see them play. Everyone will do their free agency report card probably next Tuesday or Wednesday when most of the deals are done, but not all of the deals. And there still is time for this. Look at last season and the timing of the James Harden deal. Maybe it takes a Beal or a Lillard going into camp and making it difficult. Maybe we might see that, might not with Xavier Howard. We certainly have seen that with other NFL players. I'll report, but I won't be myself. So let's not get too caught up in the timing right there also of those situations of they didn't get this guy right away and this guy got away and Kawhi Leonard re-signed here. There's a lot of other players. And the one thing that when I speak to Andy Ellisberg, he always warns me on this. Fans always look at free agency because of the immediacy. If you have the cash and a player wants to go, you sign the contract and you're done. But the trade market's a big part of it. And if you have cap space, it means you can take in someone's $20 million player and only send out a $6 million player. or with a base year compensation of a Duncan Robinson or Kendrick Nunn in a sign and trade. So there's a lot of maneuvering, and it doesn't have to be immediate. So when you and I talk again, and we come back next week on our Pallet Rack City Inside the Paint Heat show, it might not be a case of where everything is done. It might starting to lay the groundwork. A matter of fact, you might see, wow, Ira, the Nets didn't get better, and the Bucks didn't get better, and the Celtics didn't get better, and there still is time, and it may wind up looking like that also. So I think there has to be a degree of patience with the Heat, understanding they are not going to play their next game that counts until late October. We all want the instant gratification. It's not always how it works in this business.
You said you're disagreeing with me. Where do we disagree?
Well,
no,
I think
we're on the same page. No, and I'm joking. I think we're on the same page here because I think it's not just, to me, the immediacy factor is if every conceivable option right now were to run out. So I'm not saying that if we're here on Wednesday and the Heat don't have a deal in place for Bradley Beal, that it's a failure. Right. I would say if we're sitting here on Wednesday and Bradley Beal's already been traded elsewhere, Damian Lillard has already been traded elsewhere, Colin Sexton is off the table, Malcolm Brogdon is off the table, Kawhi Leonard has already signaled to the Clippers that he's opting in. Like every possibility, Kyle Lowry has already agreed to a deal. If we get to a point where all of the conceivable deals are off the table and the Heat haven't found a way to add someone that's going to make Jimmy Butler happy, that's when I think you start to get a little bit nervous. And again, adding into the fact, too, that if all of that happens and Jimmy Butler hasn't re-signed, hasn't gotten it, then I think – so keep in mind as you're seeing things happen or potentially things not happen with other teams – what possibilities remain as the days go on?
And there's one thing I want to double back on that for this reason. If, as you say, those things happen, Clay, it's also important where they happen. Because if Bradley Beal is traded for that very attractive Warriors package of two lottery picks and Jonathan Wiseman and Wiggins, he goes to the Western Conference. If for some reason, I don't know how, but we're playing fantasy sports here, Damian Lillard goes to the Lakers, he stays in the Western Conference. If Kyle Lowry signs with the Pelicans or the Dallas Mavericks, he goes to the Western Conference. So I always look at these situations of there's the primary goal of landing the player to your team. But there's the secondary factor of does he change the playoff dynamic in the Eastern Conference? I still firmly believe that the Brooklyn Nets, once they get a full season of Harden, Irving, and Durant, are the team to beat. I now have to believe in the Milwaukee Bucks because they've won a championship with their core of Antetokounmpo and Middleton and Drew Holiday. So I get all of that also. So to me, it comes down to a case as much as anything is where do those players wind up going? Who do they wind up signing with? Where does it leave the Heat in that situation? And since I think we've maybe lost Clay here for a second because that's how internet connections tend to run, I sort of want to touch on another thing here also before we quickly – there's Clay. Clay shows up like that. I think he was going to our email bag. And again, you can reach us at insidethepaint@yahoo.com.
Unfortunately, it was my AOL email that I had linked the link to this too. So clearly that went away. Everything that you were saying about watching where these players go, I think I agree on the Nets still being the class of the conference.
Right.
I think we saw what I think the concern with the Nets was, which is Kyrie Irving can't stay healthy. James Harden has stayed relatively healthy over his, but he's also had nicks and knacks here and there. That the hamstring issue that I believe flared up in the playoffs a couple of years ago. I mean, he's had things, little things along the way. And obviously Kevin Durant with the Achilles, they're not injury prone, Durant and Harden, but you can see a situation. So you want to make sure that you're at least making your team better. Is it because, like you said at the outset of this thing, look back at the last 2 years, and I don't think it was a bubble fluke what the Heat did last year. I genuinely think that team was really, really good and really put it all together. But I also think it's a team that largely relied on Goran Dragic, who is clearly not the same player that he was in the bubble, and I don't think he's going to be that same player moving forward. So you have to find a way to get your roster to the point where they're good enough to make another run. And Jimmy Butler knows that. And I think he also knows that, given what we saw last year, the core of this roster right now isn't good enough. So you're right. I don't think it's as big of a problem if those players go to the Western Conference, but I also don't think it changes the fact the Heat need to get better. They need to make this roster better.
And Clay, I want to touch on something real quick because obviously we're running out of time, which I knew we would have in this first time because there's so much going on. And again, if you've missed any of the show today, just search on any platform for Big O Radio Show. You could find, you could smash the like button right there and you could join us every week. We'll be here on Wednesdays at 10 a.m. Over the next week, by Sunday, the Heat have four decisions to make. Qualifying offer to Duncan Robinson, qualifying offer to Kendrick Nunn, whether to pick up the team options on Andre Iguodala and Goran Dragic. And we will follow all of that up next week when we come back here on the Pallet Rack City Inside the Heat Paint, Inside the Paint Show. But so really quick, my thoughts on this, then I'll get your thoughts on the way out here. Obviously, the Heat are going to extend qualifying offers to Duncan Robinson and Kendrick Nunn for this reason. At worst, the players say, okay, we'll take that $4.7 million for 1 year. They're going to do a lot better. There's no risk from the Heat. If the Heat want to regain that cap space, they have about 2 weeks. They can pull those offers, turn it back to cap space. So that's going to happen in the first place. So those two, I think, are automatic. The deadline is Sunday. I think you'll see that before, maybe even before people start listening to this show. So we apologize we're not on 24/7. Number two, the options, team options for Goran Dragic and Andre Iguodala. If they pick them up, it does not mean those players will remain with the Heat. It means they are salary cap balanced. It means they can balance trades. It means they might be kept like Myers Leonard was until last season's trading deadline also, because you wind up in a situation you might need to balance deals. So we started the show. You talked about the draft. You talked about the free agency. You talked about Jimmy Butler's contract extension deadline, the window that opens next week. There's four other things. There's Duncan Robinson. There's Kendrick Nunn. There's Andre Iguodala. There's Goran Dragic, which just shows you there are so many balls up in the air for the Miami Heat. That, as much as they know what they're thinking, I think they are sort of open to anything and everything at this stage, as just about everyone who's listening here thinks might or might not happen. We will know a little bit more by next Wednesday's show. We will know a lot more when I'm out in Las Vegas in Summer League in 2 weeks.
I'm doing this with my hands because it all works together. There are a lot of balls being juggled, not just for the Heat, but for everybody else. The Jimmy Butler extension, the potential Kyle Lowry talks, the potential trade talks with guys like Beal and Lillard. It all, the deals for Dragic, they all work together. So be thinking in your mind and why the next 36 hours are critical if you're a Heat fan. Don't just look at the moves the Heat make or don't make.
Right.
Be cognizant of the moves that are going on around the league or are not going on around the league. And if you're a Heat fan, the less action in the next 36 hours around the league, the better for you, because it means that there is at least a chance that the Heat are in on some of these other guys. So it's going to be a blast. I'm really excited that we could get to do this every single week. I think this was a great chance to get started, introduce everybody to how we're going to make this show. Ira brings great info. He can't always tell you exactly what he's hearing, but follow what he is saying and kind of connect the dots a little bit. And I think that's why it's great to have you on here, Ira. So thanks for joining us. All of you, thanks for joining us. Next 36 hours, critical. We are going to have a blast following all of this with you. Stay tuned. Big O Show coming up next.
See ya.
You've been listening to the Pallet Rack City Inside the Paint program with Ira Winterman and Clay Ferraro, exclusively on the Big O Radio Show. Search Big O Radio Show on most platforms. Subscribe and smash the like button to support Inside the Paint. If you want your warehouse sporting the finest racks in the business, there's only one choice, Pallet Rack City.